Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by Jeff Robison. Jeff is the head coach and owner at Club MMA in Cincinnati, Ohio. They also have a Northern Kentucky location as well. I appreciate everyone tuning in. If you're a fan of the Kelly Patrick Show, I ask that you please send some referrals the way of my sponsors. First and foremost, my health insurance practice. I'm an independent broker for Health Insurance Solutions, MedicareStoreUSA.com. Send me some Medicare referrals, someone who's already on Medicare or will soon be going on to Medicare, or someone who just needs help with their Medicare coverage. Whatever it is, I can help in the states of Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Florida, and Illinois. Louisville Combat Academy, located at 7908 Beulah Church Road, Louisville, Kentucky. I attend a Graham Gordon-led kickboxing class on Thursdays at Louisville Combat Academy. Great class, 6:30 p.m. Come check it out. Join me for a class. They also have 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu and a very strong women's and kids program, along with, of course, Jason Y-led MMA program. Special thanks to Matt McCarthy, the longtime producer of The Kelly Patrick Show, LiveSportsCaster.com, and Veercast Digital Media. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Welcome to The Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by Jeff Robinson of Club MMA in Cincinnati, Ohio. I have interviewed Jeff before, but for the sake of today's episode, I was thinking it'd be a good thing for us to revisit a lot of those things we probably touched on last time. Jeff, you run, of course, Club MMA. You guys produce a lot of MMA fighters. That's really how I know you, through the local and regional MMA scene. If someone's not familiar with who you are, Jeff, could you introduce yourself, please?
I could. Again, Jeff Robison, Club MMA, Cincinnati, Ohio. Also run Focus Fight Team, our organization where we have like an affiliate jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai program and business consulting. So, yeah, I've been doing martial arts. I just recently turned 45 last week. I've been doing martial arts since I was 7 years old. Wide span of martial arts, from karate to judo to Taekwondo, Tang Sudo, Filipino martial arts, Jeet Kune Do, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, Judo, boxing, wrestling, all of it. So I am just kind of what I refer to as a martial art nerd. So that's pretty much it. Been running. And then 2 weeks ago, Club MMA hit 18 years old. So April 15th, 2008, we started the gym, and we just celebrated our 18th anniversary. So things are going strong here in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky for us. Our Kentucky gym is going to be 7 years old in August. So doing really well.
And what is kind of the mission? If there's a mission statement for Club MMA, what would that be?
To provide mixed martial arts for ages four and up, and to focus on, you know, physical, mental, social, and emotional training, and to just give people an opportunity to better themselves through the martial arts. Martial arts is kind of a great vehicle to help people learn a lot of really great things. And you, just as you know, so many great lessons are taught on the mat. So through, you know, hardship, friendship, grit, and then just, you know, the technical aspect behind it, you know, friendship, community. So the goal is just to give whatever people are looking for that they want to get out of the martial arts, the mat provides that. And it's really easy once they step on. So I just want to give people a great experience in training. And that could just be, you know, health and fitness. It could be self-defense. It could be, I want to learn the art. I want to compete. I mean, the doors are open for everybody. So whatever they're looking for, we've tried to develop our curriculum and systems in place to where it can take anybody anywhere. So that's really the goal and the mission.
So you guys probably have a strong kids program, strong women's program.
Strong kids program. I mean, women are, you know, fluctuate. I personally don't do a women's program. But we have a good strong women's base, especially in our teen program. We have tons of girls. So, but yes, kids, probably 60% kids, 40% adults. We cater to 4 years old all the way up to 16. So, but we teach on the age development spectrum. So we run everything 4 and 5 year olds, 6 and 7 year olds, 8 to 12s. and then 12 to 16, and then 16 and up. So we cater to their development, their size, what's, you know, appropriate material, and then the coaching style adjusts as it goes up. So very organized, and we want to refer to it as like a farm system. Get them at four, get them all the way to an adult, and then, you know, and then just make sure they know that this is a place that they can train for as long as we're still doing it. So that's kind of the goal.
If there was like a prototype of your product of your farm system, who would that be? Maybe Ethan Riley?
Ethan, actually, I do have a girl that works for me. Her name is Morgan. She's one of the coaches here. She is 19. She started with us when she was 4 years old.
Wow.
And she's all the way, you know, as an adult, she's did all the kids programming, kids MMA, teen programming, you know, adult Muay Thai, adult jiu-jitsu. She's currently blue belt in jiu-jitsu. She has her black sash and our Muay Thai program. So, and she went from being a student now to a coach. So she works with our kids and our teen programs, and she's going to college right now. So she is a perfect prototype. But Ethan Riley, had him since he was 14 years old, you know, and he, back in the heyday, I was doing everything I could do to just get students in the door. So at that time period, I was super close to the local high school that I went to, and I ended up knowing the athletic director, made a call, said, hey, I'm going to start a high school MMA program. Can I come up and just give some flyers out and give like a speech, make an announcement? And he's like, sure. So at the end of the day, 20 kids showed up, gave them the spiel, come over after school a couple times a week, you know, 3 o'clock, just drive over, we'll train for an hour. And Ethan Riley was one of those high school MMA kids, and he has stuck around. He coaches for me now too. He coaches in my Cincinnati location and my Kentucky location, and is seeking a pro MMA fight right now. Hopefully we can get something on the books, Hard Rock. Ethan's a good one.
Of course, I do commentary for HR MMA, which is kind of Hard Rock's flagship promotion.
Yep.
But when you say Hard Rock, that could mean how many different promotions?
Right now I just need a fight.
And yeah.
He's matchmaking. So, and I mean, I think at the end of May, they've got the lineup is what, the 23rd is OCL, the 29th is Future of Fighting, and then the 30th is Hard Rock. So, if he pulls that off, he gets the fight cards full, he gets everybody to show up, and everybody does a great job in all the promotions. God bless that guy, man, because that's one of the hardest working dudes in MMA, in my opinion. And I love Hard Rock. I think he's a great dude, and he's always done us right, and he's always made up for it if it didn't go right. And he's always upfront and honest, and that's what I love about him as a matchmaker.
A couple things stood out to me that you said about your program. You didn't shy away from saying like a kids MMA program. You see a lot of programs that'll say, you know, we have kids jiu-jitsu and, you know, that type thing. But you jumped right into kids MMA program.
Yep.
How did you adopt that approach?
That is actually a good question. So I do have a kids jiu-jitsu program.
I'm sure, yeah.
But our kids MMA program, so 20 years ago, I was in my transitional phase of taekwondo and karate, learning jiu-jitsu, doing kickboxing. And when I opened my own gym, I just wanted to change everything. The thing that is great about traditional martial arts is it's really organized and really structured. And, you know, and I feel like there's two pieces to it. You got hardware and you got software. And, you know, I think the things that were important, the hardware is good, but we needed to update the software. And, you know, and I have a 6th degree black belt in taekwondo. So, like, I'm not knocking it. It made me who I am, especially from the traditional martial arts perspective, the character, just the grit and grind behind it. But we needed to update the software. And so I just kind of started looking at the structure, and I said, you know what? I'm doing all this jiu-jitsu. I'm doing all this kickboxing. I'm going to take this out. I'm going to put this in, and I'm just like plug and play, plug and play. And I developed my own kids MMA program. So in the kids MMA program is, you know, we still keep the traditional aspects, bowing in for respect. Yes, sir. No, sir. Good character development, standing still, being like a popsicle. But we adopted, you know, Muay Thai fighting stance, you know, jab, cross, hook, uppercut, covers, parries. We incorporated the wrestling, singles, doubles, hip throws, osotogari. We brought in the self-defense from jiu-jitsu, you know, headlock escapes, rear naked choke escapes from standing. And then we incorporated grappling on the ground, jiu-jitsu, hip escape from mount, side control, all your basic positional escapes, hold downs, a couple submissions, and this whole kind of curriculum just kind of came together. And now they can punch, kick, shoot a double leg, they can get on top, they can escape, they can put people in submissions. And then we also have the basic self-defense, you know, but it's all tied together, you know. And we've also put in the character development stuff, you know, just yes, sir, no, sir. Being kind, being able to introduce yourself to people. So I've built all that out, and it's taken, you know, years to develop, but now, I mean, it's running smoother than ever. And then what we do for our kids' jiu-jitsu program, our kids' jiu-jitsu program is separate. Can't get into the kids' jiu-jitsu program until you've at least met a gold belt, or I'm sorry, an orange belt. So it's white, gold, orange in our MMA program. Then you can apply to go into the kids' jiu-jitsu program. And then kids' jiu-jitsu program is gi, singles, doubles, takedowns, every choke, every submission. And that's how I do it for the young ones. In my teen program, you can just join because kids will do the kids MMA program. They get their junior MMA black belt, and if they do, they're immediately handed their black belt, and they're immediately handed a jiu-jitsu white belt, and say, "Cool, see you in jiu-jitsu next week." So that has helped a lot, I think, with retention, because the biggest issue is giving kids black belts. They think they know it all. They don't. You get this black belt, hang it up on the wall. Here's your shiny new white belt in jiu-jitsu. You want to come to Muay Thai? Here's your shiny new white belt in Muay Thai. You know enough about striking to where you're familiar with it, but now we're doing it. You know what I mean? So, like, I think over the years of me coaching, especially when I was just doing the Taekwondo, you know, kids are getting black belts and stuff, and they're doing it in a couple years, which is the art. But then it's like there's no retention at black belt level. So it's give them their black belt. They hang it up on the wall. Great accomplishment. They're immediately excited about getting their new their jiu-jitsu belt, their Muay Thai belt. And they're in a new program. It's harder. And then they get to keep growing. So Kids MMA has been the greatest thing for us. And it's our most popular program. But it's a program that everybody can do. And they can get involved and they can learn. And then as they want more, okay, you're an orange belt. You want to go to kids jiu-jitsu and do that. And a lot of kids will do, they'll do kids MMA once or twice a week, and then they'll do jiu-jitsu too. So they're getting it all. I think that's probably been the best design that we came up with that works for us. Now, it's our system. I wrote it. It has been tweaked 100 times to now where we got it down to where we like it. And we're constantly tweaking it as we grow, because we do an in-house tournament, a kids MMA in-house tournament. Having a lot of students, you know, I'll have 150 kids compete in this, and we'll train for it, and they'll do stand-up sparring. They'll do a full jiu-jitsu round, and then we go old school, and we bring back board breaking, which is just fun. And when we're done with that tournament, we assess, all right, what adjustments do we want to make? Because we made the adjustment based off of what we saw in the competition. What were they doing well? What were the things that they need to work on? And then we go back to the curriculum. And the adjustments may not always be changing out moves. It's now we're continuing to update the software, because a part of that software is not just moves, but training methodologies. You know what I mean? Like we're gonna focus our like grap or like our wrestling, like more like a wrestling class. You know what I mean? So it's going to be more hand fighting and this and that, instead of just like static stuff. You know what I mean? So we've moved away from a lot. The static is great for coordination. Then it's take them to live drilling, isolated wrestling, and then full on rounds, you know. So we spend a lot of time making adjustments in the software because the hardware is good. The double leg is good. You know, the 1-2 punch is good. The round kick's good. But how can we change up the drilling and training? And I'm going to all the other rooms. This is how boxing is trained. This is how Muay Thai is trained. This is how Jiu-Jitsu is trained. So the goal is to keep emulating that in the mix of everything. That's not just that program. That's all the programs. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that we focus on year to year is just making that software adjustment.
You said it's been really good for retention. You know, you can make an argument that if you want to make the best jiu-jitsu practitioner, you get a 7-year-old kid in there. You say, all right, we're going to learn to break fall. Now you're going to elbow escape. You really drill in on making sure they elbow escape correctly. You could spend months just doing the stuff that is so important, but arguably maybe isn't the most enjoyable for the kid. So I'm not saying that's a bad approach, but maybe it wouldn't be the best from a business perspective for just doing overboard of that, if that makes sense, for the sake of retention. So I think you're touching on something interesting when running a kids program. You don't want to, of course, just do the fun stuff. You want to do substantive things, but you also want to lend yourself to and toward retention.
Well, I think what needs to happen is like, don't get me wrong, doing everything correct. If you can't do it slow and correct, you can't do it fast and correct. But the thing is like, we have to let people fail. That's where grit comes in. That's where problem solving comes in. You know, looking at like all the new stuff right now that's going on, like the whole ecological style, like I'm not there yet with the whole like, well, we don't rep anything. Well, that's, I think, ridiculous, because like, show me one place in any athletic sport where we're not going to at least have some kind of technical breakdown, some reps, you know what I mean? Batting practice, throwing, catching a ball, you know what I mean? Like, those things have to happen because the coordination is necessary. But once we start to have some basic coordination, they don't have to be perfect at it. They then have to go and play and start to problem solve, you know? And that's where I like the ecological stuff in the problem solving, but I think there's a time and a place for it. But like, I need you to know your left from your right, and I need you to be able to do a couple moves, and then we're going to play, we're going to problem solve, because the hardest lessons to teach these kids is just how to lose. It's not the moves. It's not the moves. And we want to teach them how to lose. We want them to lose, because then we want to build them up in learning how to problem solve. And once they've figured out how to problem solve, bam, now we have confidence. You get what I mean?
We want to
do it in a process. We want to be very positive in all the things that we're doing. We want to help them isolate the idea. We want to pat them on the back and say, come on, man, get back up. Let's do it again. And just remind them, like, we're just playing a game here. This is just a game. We're going to keep working it out and working it out. Because, like, look, you've seen a kid's class, I'm sure. Dodgeball. You can win dodgeball and the next round get out.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's jiu-jitsu, bro. You know, so, but you know what they want to do? They want to play again.
They want to get back in there.
So if we can just keep that mindset going and keep it, but as long as we have a structure of how we're going to facilitate, and the coaches kind of keep that structure going, and then all they do is just, all right, bring in the next move, bring in the next move, bring in the next move. Week to week, everything just keeps growing. And then we got retention. You know what I mean? And over time, I mean, let's be honest. If you get a kid in jiu-jitsu at 8 years old and you give them a blue belt at 16, they're a monster.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I saw it on last Saturday at the tournament. You know, there's so much potential out there, and all those kids are just going out. They're winning, they're losing, they're either getting their hand raised or they're not. There's some tears, and then get back in there and do it again. That's what I love about the round robins. You lose, cool, we're going out, we're going to go do it again. You know, and that's just the best way to teach these kids. but they got to lose, man. I think that's probably the most important thing. And if they can be in an environment where that is accepted and then used as a learning opportunity, we're winning as coaches, not just for jiu-jitsu, but for what martial arts is really about, character.
You mentioned last Saturday, shout out to Professor Scott Smith, the Midwest BJJ Nationals. Did you guys have a good experience at South Oldham High School?
Always do. Always do. That's why I don't go to a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments anymore. We're just so busy at the academy. And I mean, we have classes on Saturday. We're literally 6 days a week. And then most of the coaches are coming in on Sundays and doing privates and stuff. So I try to just pick a couple tournaments that I attend, and I'll take some staff with me and I'll load it up. And, you know, and Scott's is the one that I really like to go to because it's organized. It starts on time. It ends by 2 o'clock. And the thing is like Scott's doing this to give kids and even adults just great experiences. You know what I mean? And that's what we want. You know, don't get me wrong. I get every flyer every weekend, and some people want to go and compete. Hey, man, go compete. If that's what you want to do, it's just I'm not spending all my time focusing on jiu-jitsu tournaments for competition. I focus on MMA as a coach. That's my passion project is coaching MMA. But, you know, if a group of people want to get together and go to a tournament, man, go. Sometimes one of the coaches will sneak out and go and hang out and coach them. I did all that already. You know what I mean? I was going to tournaments all the time, and it was great. But now the business is just so busy, and I have so many full-time staff and so many classes and so many clients. Like, I just can't make it happen. I got to focus on them first. And then, you know, so what I try to do is, you know, January 1st, Scott, when are you doing your tournaments? We're going to come. And I'm just going to bring a boatload of people, and I'm going to build it out. You know, we do if I know when it is, we'll build out, you know, 5 weeks prior, where we just do competition training just for that competition. We'll go and do it. We're not 100% competition school. So, like, people are going to win. People are going to lose. You know what I mean? And I'm okay with that. I'm not focusing on just sport BJJ. It's not my jam. I like it, but I want to focus on MMA and competition in that. So that's where I want to spend my time.
I was at a boxing class tonight at House of Warrior here in Louisville under Coach Abdullah. And Todd Pickett was there tonight. And I said to him, hey, I'm interviewing Jeff Robinson tonight. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going there on Wednesday. He said he's going to be driving to Cincinnati. He said, I'm staying in the, I don't know what he said. Was it the dorms? You guys have a place to stay there.
We got a bunk room. So I built out one of my side rooms to have some bunk beds and a couch and a TV and a refrigerator. And, you know, we have showers and washer and dryer. So I try to help out some of the fighters that travel and stuff, and having a lot of affiliates across the country, people will come and, you know, train with us for a week at a time. So I try to help them out financially by giving them a place to stay. And you know, we have all the amenities. It's not, you know, it's not the Hampton Inn, but I mean, it's decent, and it works, and you're in the gym the whole time. So you have everything that you need, and I'm excited to have Todd come up. This has been kind of a long time in the making. He's come up a couple times and trained with us, but we're going to get him for a couple good days. So I'm really excited. I'm hoping to get about 6 practices out of him in the 2.5 days that he's going to be here. So, and hopefully we can get a couple of these in for this camp for him, because he's got a great opportunity with LFA, and you know, and Scott's a dear friend, so I want to do everything I can do to support him and support Todd, because Todd's got so much potential. And I've got some training partners for him and stuff, and my guys are going to keep him safe. We're going to push him to the limits and hopefully just give him some give him some details and stuff. And plus, I have a cage, so which is very helpful, you know, for MMA fighters and stuff. You know, you can only train so much against, you know, the wall and the matted wall, and that cage is different, man, and you're locked in there. So I'm very excited about having Todd up. I actually spoke to him today as well, along with Professor Scott Smith, just to kind of, what do you want to work on? Where are we going from here? What is, you know, and I wanted to get all the small talk out of the way, because I don't want to sit and have him show up and spend an hour figuring out what we got to fix. Like, let's talk about it now. You know, I checked out your opponent. I've already watched four or five fights. I kind of got an analysis of what I think. I've seen it. I've been to the majority of Todd's fights and watched them live. If not, I've caught him on video. So, like, I'm very aware. I've also trained with him. I know his, you know, training mentality and stuff. So, like, I think he's just going to – he'll ease right into training and just, you know, give him a different look and give him, you know, my experience of coaching and training and stuff. And, you know, I think the greatest thing that was said to me today when I was talking to Scott was – Jeff, I trust you. I'm not worried. So, like, that to me is an honor to hear that come out of Scott's mouth. So I'm going to do my best for Todd, and hopefully I can get him up here a couple times before, I think, what is it, June 19th, down in Louisville with LFA. So very excited for him. He deserves it.
Of course, I'm a kids instructor, and I train at Gracie Jiu-Jitsu of Kentucky under Professor Scott Smith. It seems like you and Scott are very tight. How did you meet Scott? How did you guys become such close friends?
I met Scott at Ken Tran School.
Beaver Creek.
Yep. Master Pedro Sauer was doing a seminar at Ken School, and I went up there to just see Master Sauer because it's only an hour drive, and Scott was there, and, you know, I was already black belt, so... We're kind of, you know, going around the room and, you know, Professor Sauer, regardless if you're in this association or not, he's just so kind. And I was, you know, we line up and I just kind of stand off to the side. Like, he's like, no, my friend, you're black belt. You stand up here with us. And kind of just, hey, man, how's it going? I'm Jeff. And he's like, I'm Scott. We started talking. He's like, you own a school? I said, I do. And we immediately, and Scott's very, very into business. So we started talking about business and stuff like that. And that, like, hit us off. And we exchanged phone numbers, and then within probably a month, we talked on the phone, and I was like, hey, man, I'm just going to come down and check out your school. Went down and sat with him in the office for a couple hours and spoke with him. We just talked business the whole time and got to know each other. Professor Adam Miller, shout out to him. Congratulations on your fifth degree black belt. Was teaching class, and I was like, hey, I'm going to jump out there and train a little bit. And I got to meet him, and it was just like immediate, like, these are my guys. And, you know, and Scott and I have just hit it off. I've attended multiple seminars down there. Henry Akins, Master Sauer, Carlos Machado. I actually brought Carlos down for a seminar that he taught at Scott's school. So
I was there.
A great experience.
Oh, yeah. Great stuff.
And then every time, you know, we're fighting in Shepherdsville or Louisville, you know, you got to go down the day before and hang out. And then Scott's like, oh, let's go to dinner, hang out, you know, bring the guys up on Saturday afternoon, just get a sweat out. He lets us use his school. You know what I mean? I've done a couple in-house tournaments. He's come up here. And now it's just to the point where, like, we talk on the phone probably once a week, you know, and it's business stuff and training, or, hey, I got this event going on and stuff like that. So, I'm super lucky to have that guy in my corner, you know what I mean? And he backs me, and I back him 100%. So whatever I can do to help old boy out, you know, just makes me happy. So it's good to have another just good guy in martial arts that's got integrity and holds the line of that, you know, and he represents jiu-jitsu really well and loves Master Sauer. So I respect everything about him.
Over the years, you and your team have made the trek from Cincinnati to Bowling Green, Kentucky for many HR MMA events.
Uh-huh.
How did that happen? That's not the closest place to Cincinnati.
I don't even remember our first fight down there. It's been so long. I don't know. You know what attracted us to that? It was the venue. Because we're just like, all right, we got to take this fight. We're going to Bowling Green. We went, and we get to the hotel. And then we're like, oh, it's just like right there. And I was like, this is awesome. In the whole amateur scene, that just kind of makes you feel good. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Hotel, place is right there. This is just so convenient. And Bowling Green's nice area. You know, for us, it's like 3.5 hour drive. But I just love the venue. You know, Hard Rock did a couple shows there. And then B2 came out. And B2's production was just off the hook. They just did all the little stuff that I really thought was great for amateur and, you know, low level pros. So, and started building a relationship with Hard Rock, and I'm just like, I just love that venue, and all my guys love the venue, and it's a nice little just trip away, you know. And being down there, just there's just a vibe about that place, and we've had some big wins down there, and it's just a place that we just really enjoy going to. So I always try to put at least one Bowling Green card on the schedule a year. So
Sloan Convention Center, nice place.
Yep, super nice place.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in recent maybe months, I've noticed an uptick in your production for your Instagram page. I told you when I saw you at the Midwest BJJ Nationals, I said, Jeff, I didn't know you had such pretty kickboxing. I saw some clips of you working with some people and doing some work in there, and you look great. Not to suck up to you big time, but I don't think I had really seen that prior. I think maybe you had told me on the podcast, you know, you're very experienced with kickboxing, but until I saw you move out there, I honestly didn't quite have the appreciation for you.
Yeah, I don't put a lot of me on the internet.
You should.
Me training. No, I just got some new gloves from Rev Gear, and I kind of wanted to play them out a little bit and make like a little video for Rev Gear. And I don't know. It felt really good. I mean, I haven't really got to hit mitts in a while. And even like my guy, even Coach Hubler, Hubler Sheriff, man, he's like, dang, Coach. He's like, you still got it. Because, I mean, I was wailing, and I just felt really good. I've been, you know, big health journey the past year, really been focusing on me, my health, my fitness, being in shape, training. And it just felt really good to get out there and just crack a little bit. But, yes, I've been striking my whole life, you know. Jiu-jitsu didn't hit until the 20s, you know. So punching and kicking and jumping and jump kicking. And I wanted to be Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know what I mean? Like jump, spinning, wheel kick, splits kick. Like I wanted to be able to do all that stuff. So I could at that time. Now not so much, but I mean, I can still kick you in the face. And I have a floating round kick that's hard to see because I can just pick it up and float it and just crack you. But as I get older, I try not to get hit in the head as much because I've taken a lot of headshots and I'm still getting cracked all the time, you know, holding pads and stuff, and I kind of want to keep my coconut. So and I've had some like neck injuries from just getting hit. So if I can still do some striking, some light sparring, just for timing based and stuff like that, I'll do it. But like, I'm not interested in getting hit anymore. I still have to do this for 20 more years as a coach and be healthy for my guys and make sure. And, you know, as I get older, my biggest attribute is what I got here. So sure. I don't want to waste that away by just trying to be the toughest guy on the mat anymore. I'm not. And I will more than willingly and humbly say that I've been surpassed by plenty of my guys. The only thing that I have for them is they respect me, and that's the thing that I appreciate the most. So, but I'm constantly working on my striking. I'm constantly trying to involve the striking here at the gym, and especially for my fighters. I've got some really good stuff I've been working on with my guys, and I'm excited to unleash that here within the next year. It's going to take a little time to get it fixed up the way I want it, but I am constantly trying to update that software for them and bring it to the amateurs and, you know, and the pros and stuff, and then just kind of make that the standard. So striking for me is my passion and what I love the most. I mean, I love jiu-jitsu, but yeah, the striking is something that I study the most. And that's just because I've been doing it for so long. But yeah, I like to get out and crack a little bit sometimes.
What are your credentials for instructing Muay Thai?
So, I come from a Taekwondo base, so I can kick really, really good. And when I was in my 20s, I was coaching for another gym, and I was lifting at this gym next to me, and I met this guy. His name's Marty Sloan. He was an old school PKA kickboxing, which is Professional Kickboxing Association. And I never really like boxed and kickboxed. And he was running kind of like a fitness kickboxing class, and he was holding Thai pads. And I was like, I'll do it. And he's, fix this. And then I throw a kick and he's like, bro, this is awesome. Because he was just training a bunch of moms. And I'm like taking this mom class, but dude could hold pads. Like he boxed, he kickboxed, and he made all these little adjustments on me, spent some time with me, started teaching me sparring and stuff, like boxing, sparring. And he was just right next door. So like I would go over and work out with him. In the mornings and sometimes at night when I was off and I'm starting to look for a kickboxing program. I started, getting DVDs. And then I found Master Toddy. Master Toddy's was at this time. And if you don't know who Master Toddy is, he actually trained Gina Carano while she did all of her Muay Thai. All of her fights in Muay Thai, Lisa King, Kevin Ross, tons of champions. Found him out in Vegas, and he was offering kind of like an apprenticeship for Muay Thai. Well, yearly, I would go out to Vegas for a trade show for martial arts, and I would just pop in, get some private lessons with Master Toddy, started going through his like curriculum and programming, and did that for a couple years, was given my like apprenticeship instructorship under him. Started a Muay Thai program at the Taekwondo school I was working at and just kept running through it and running through it. Eventually, when I opened my own gym, I was just running it and ended up going back and getting my associate instructorship under him and then eventually my crew under him. And then showed back up to Vegas and he was gone. And he moved back to Thailand. So I'm like, all right, now I'm on my own a little bit. And so I just kept running my Muay Thai program, started making my adjustments. And, traditional Muay Thai in America, it's American Muay Thai. It's Muay Thai for MMA, you know what I mean? So I started making my software adjustments on how I wanted to teach it based off of MMA. So I kind of adjusted his curriculum into my own curriculum. And then 2015, my wife surprised me and my staff and said, you're going to Thailand. You're going to see Master Toddy again. And so we went over there for a week. I've gone back a couple times to see him. Nobody in the world, and I've had lots of really great instructors, makes me feel like I can run through a brick wall besides him. His approach, his technical knowledge, how he can just talk to you and pull it out of you. He's just a special dude. And his technical knowledge is just off the hook. So I'm a crew under Master Toddy. I haven't seen him since 2018. He is now in his late 60s, still out on the mat. I hope to get over there at least to see him one more time. Just because, now the gym was just so busy. But he's got an amazing program, and he's got an amazing instructorship program. Not only is he really good at coaching, he's really organized, and those are the people that I kind of like are attracted to, because I like curriculum. I like curriculum development. I want to see the process, and that's how I think. So he's definitely a person that I hold to a high regard. So, and then obviously I've taken tons of striking classes and striking seminars, and because there's just so much. There's such really good striking in the United States, and now I'm to the point where I've been doing it so long, I've kind of got my style and the stuff that I like to do. And, based off of what's working in competition, what's not working in competition, and then making adjustments. So I think that's one thing that's important is for coaches out there that you have to make the adjustments and you have to be able to have your personal style, because Master Toddy's style is his style. You know what I mean? I'm just replicating it until I kind of grew into my own shoes and said, all right, I know what I like. I know what works. I know what's working for what we're doing and the people that I'm dealing with and the sport, because his Muay Thai is 100% sport Muay Thai. If you go to Thailand and watch and go to Lumpini Stadium and watch a Thai fight, that is different than going to the TBAs in Iowa, which is the biggest Muay Thai tournament in the United States. That Muay Thai is different than this Muay Thai. Some people try to replicate it, but it's just different over here. You know what I mean? So because we have so much influence from boxing And we have so much influence from MMA. So it's just different. You know, MMA is our national strike, is our national sport for combat. You know, Muay Thai in Thailand is Muay Thai. You know, so it's different. But I've grown into my own shoes and my own curriculum and the things that I like. I just attended a really cool seminar with Eddie Chai. He owns Fight Ready and has tons of UFC fighters, and listen to him talk, you know what I mean, and his striking perspective and how he likes to do things. And I walked away some really good stuff, you know, that I was able to incorporate into what I'm doing. So now it's just me kind of developing my own way. And that's kind of where it's going to go anyway. So
I'm looking at images of Master Toddy online right now. Looks like quite the character. I'm curious, how tall is this guy? How much do you think he weighs?
Master Toddy? I mean, he's probably like 5'6". He's a little guy.
Okay.
He's a little guy.
Pretty thick, though.
Well, I mean, thick now, but back in the heyday, you know what's funny is he grew up in Thailand, but he got his coaching start in England.
Hmm.
So if you look him up in England, like Ronnie Green was one of his like big time fighters when he was in England, and he had a school in England for like 15 years, then ended up moving to the United States, had a school in the United States in Vegas for years, and then went back to Thailand and has his like compound in Thailand. So he's a character, man, but he's super fun. You know, if you look up the TV series Fight Girls, It was on like cable at one time, where he was just training female Muay Thai fighters, and Lisa King, Gina Carano. He took all these Americans over to Thailand to fight, and it was like a reality television show before the Ultimate Fighter. So it was pretty slick. But now over in Thailand, I mean, he's killing it. He's got a couple gyms in Thailand, and he's just kind of like doing his thing. He lives at his gym. You know what I mean? He's got his house, the gym, and then he's got dorms, and he literally just kind of like slides the door, comes out, class has already started, hey guys, we're going to do this and this, and then on Friday he gets in his truck, drives up to his other gym, which is like on the water because he loves to fish, so he'll spend the whole weekend up there, walk out, teach a class or two, fish, relax, come back to the city in Bangkok, and you know, he's killing it.
So, doesn't sound like a bad life for him. That sounds pretty fun.
No, he's killing it. So it's a cool gig, and he's got a cool little spot, and all of his coaches that work for him, and he's got a couple brothers. You know what I mean? His one brother, Master A, he actually is in England still and has a school in England, and then his little brother, they're all his little brothers, but and then Master O, he's got his own academy in Bangkok.
Interesting. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. Sounds like a character. Jeff, I really appreciate you coming on the show with me today. Before we wrap things up, I've got one very important question, being that you're from Cincinnati, you live in Cincinnati. What is the city like with the Cincinnati Reds playing the way they're playing right now?
Right now they're killing it, you know. So, listen, Cincinnati is hilarious when it comes to sports. If we're winning, it's good. And if we're losing, everybody's pissed. And, you know, and you'll know, especially like when the Bengals are playing Monday, social media. If we lose, don't even go on social media. It's brutal. But right now the Reds are doing pretty good from my understanding. Seems like we got a pretty good manager now. Things are kind of on the up and up. And, you know, we're kind of due.
Sure, I'd say best start to the season since 2003 for the Reds.
I mean, it's been since like 1990.
Correct.
You know, and I kind of gave up on baseball after 1990. You know, big Pete Rose fan. That was the last game that I went to, was when they honored him, and they did like the, you know, they gave everybody a jersey and stuff, and it was, you know, kind of special. I'm a huge Pete Rose fan. I love to just listen to the guy talk. I mean, love him or hate him, you know, but as far as him playing the game, he understood the game, and I always loved the clips of him talking about the technical side of the game. You know, if you ever get a chance, look up the video of him, Frank Thomas, and A-Rod, and he's being interviewed about batting. Mm. And he just talks about making these adjustments and adjustments and adjustments. And it's so funny because you're listening to him talk and he's just rattling on like he's, you know, he just telling you how to fix it. And A-Rod and Frank Thomas are sitting there like, and they're in the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
And they're just like, nobody's ever explained this to me before in my life, you know? So
that's the hit king. I mean,
I do enjoy listening to him talk because he just makes so many good explanations of tactics. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I spend more time listening to him talk and watching basketball to learn more about fighting, because there's just so much good information about faking, about feinting. You want to learn how to fake and feint? Watch basketball.
Interesting.
Watch basketball instructionals, because there's more faking and feinting in basketball than there is in any other sport.
Watch a Hakeem Olajuwon footwork series.
Oh, all of it. You know what I mean? Go back and watch all the Michael Jordan stuff, his pump fake, run around. You know what I mean? That's all faking and feinting, good ball handling. You know what I mean? Like, just watching people's footwork. Like, that stuff applies to boxing and MMA. But the problem is like, I'm still looking, I'm searching every day, trying to find the coach that makes the connection and that can explain it. And, you know, you got to remember, like, NBA coaches, these guys, they've got everything so broken down, to ball handling, to how you move your feet, to how you pump fake and go around. And I'm like, they explain it better than any boxing coach, MMA coach, Muay Thai coach that I've ever seen. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to listen to this guy talk, and then I'm going to figure it out with my hands or my feet, because it's just, there's just so much good information. And don't spend all your time watching MMA. Like, listen to these guys. Because they're all universal principles. So if, you know, and I wasn't a sports guy, and now I'm like, I'll catch an instructional clip and I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Like, he's explaining that. Now I just got to take it. I just got to bring it over to MMA and just say, okay, I'm going to make this work. So, yeah, I'm learning, but also tactics. You know, the whole classical southpaw to orthodox, you know, breakdown. Pete Rose talked about that, and it just, he's like, look, man, he's like, I learned how to hit left-handed because everybody's a right-handed pitcher, and this is back in the 70s. He's like, they hated me. And I'm like, because he put pressure on him. You know what I mean? And I'm like, this, from the batter's box, he's putting pressure on the pitcher by batting left-handed. And I'm like, and he's got a direct line to third base, which gets him on first, and that's what he was known for. I got a guy on third, I'm going to get this guy in, and I'm going to get me on first. So, like, all these tactics, man, they're everywhere. And if you can find good people to listen to, like, they're explaining so much. And I'm like, man, I am just cataloging, writing, reading John Wooden books, you know, Lou Holtz, like, Nick Saban, like, these, that's all, like, football coaches. You know what I mean? And they understand the tactics. And now I'm just, okay, thank you. And so, yeah, man, I study coaches. I don't give a shit what you coach. You could be a ballroom dancing coach. I'm going to learn something, which is funny because I did learn something major over the weekend from a ballroom dancing coach who sat next to me on an airplane while I was flying to Jersey. And it was insane.
What'd you learn?
I've never been stared at, like, death stare. Because, you know, in fighting, it's just all about your eyes and your focus. And I've never had somebody look me in the eye for a solid 2 hours and never break eye contact. And that is so a part of their style. You know what I mean? Because everything's eye contact.
Mm.
Eye contact, posture. Like, this girl, all she talked about was posture. Posture, 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 posture. And, like, and you can mess up the dance if your posture's wrong. And I'm like, okay, yeah. I mean, that's fighting 101, dude. And I was just looking at me the whole time. And I'm just like, and she's just like, I'm like, man, didn't blink. Because, you know, in fighting, it's teaching people how to not have a flinch reflex. Because everybody gets the flutters. I'm like, what do you do to get really good at this? And she's like, well, I mean, it's just a part of it. Like, you have to have good posture. You got to have chin up. You got to do this stuff. And I'm just like, it was a big takeaway. And, you know, I was like, man, I never felt like she was like staring through me. And, but I did learn a lot. It was very interesting. And posture, footwork, movement, you know, being able to flow. And I'm like, man, this is very interesting. So, and, you know, you go back and hear stories about like Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was into like cha-cha dancing, footwork. You know what I mean? So interesting, but yeah,
very fascinating. Anybody? Very fascinating, you know. Topic. Vasyl Lomachenko, of course, with Ukrainian dancing. Emmett Smith, ballet in the off season.
Mm-hmm. That stuff's hard.
Sure, sure.
You know, and you know, people with two left feet. I'm like, because I asked her a question, because you know she's a coach and an instructor, and I was like, you ever have a problem like knowing their left from their right? She's like, oh my god, are you serious? I'm like, okay, good. You know, we have the same struggles.
Ooh.
So, but yeah, no, it was a great conversation. I took the time to, I'm stuck here for 2 hours and you want to talk. So I will sit and listen and I will pound you with questions. And it was really interesting. So I learned a lot from her. It was cool.
Good stuff. Well, Jeff, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Before we wrap things up, is there anything you'd like to mention as far as, I don't know, social media or anything, you know, for the sake of if someone wants to learn more about your gym, how can they do so?
Obviously, Instagram, Instagram, Facebook. I think we have a TikTok. I don't do any of that. But, you know, Club MMA on everything across the board. And then also, you know, Focus Fight Team. Focus Fight Team is a kind of our extended gym where we're working with our organization, where we have multiple schools that train with us and stuff.
How many schools?
Right now we have 30 gyms that are with us. And this weekend we're having our spring affiliate training. So I'm going to have 30 gym owners here, their students. We're going to all come together and just have a big seminar. I get to pick. I picked some of my black belts from our affiliation. And I picked my guy, Dave Mulliken from Fuse, who's fought in OCL and in Hard Rock. He's going to teach, you know, 30 minutes. My guy, John Morton, he's from Oklahoma. Endurance BJJ, he's got a bunch of guys that compete tons of jiu-jitsu and MMA. He's going to teach a little bit, and then I'm going to teach a little bit. And then we're also hosting Paul Revlon from Rev Gear. He's going to come out and give a business talk for all of our school owners and talk about, you know, pro shop sales and stuff like that. And he's got a couple other people coming with him. So I try to really get it together and get all my school owners together. This year is an off year for us. So this year I'm having all my coaches teach. Next year, my coach, David Meyer, who just received his coral belt back in January from Higa Machado, he usually comes and teaches a free seminar for all my affiliates and stuff. So I'm not getting him this year, but I will have him next year. So we just get together. The event for my affiliates is free. I want to just get the community together, man, and just have everybody come together and train, get a chance to network. You know, when we're all together, we're on one team. It's Focus Fight Team, which is great. So that's where I'm spending a lot of my time. You know, the business operations for Club MMA is running great. I have an awesome staff. My guys here, you know, Brittany, Nick, Blake, Josh, Ethan, Morgan, Damian, they're killing it. And, you know, we're hitting about 700 plus students at this academy. And then down in Kentucky, I've got, you know, Joel, Jerry, Solomon, Joel Jr., Tracy. They got about 300 down there. So operations for the gyms are going really good. Programming is really good. I'm spending a lot of my time right now building out Focus Fight Team and just trying to help independent gym owners that need help with business, curriculum, or just want a team to be a part of. So that's kind of where I'm at. So Focus Fight Team, Club MMA, that's what's rocking right now for us. And looking forward to seeing you at the fights, Kelly. I'll probably won't see it probably till August for that, but
sure.
Excited to have Todd up here.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't make it to the LFA in June 19th. I've got some other events going on, But, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to get him ready and help out his team. So excited for that. But definitely we'll see you in August. We should have – I've already messaged Hard Rock and said, look, man, I want half the card. Because I got a lot of guys that want to fight, and when we fight, I want to show up with everybody, and I want to get everybody a good fight, and that'll be in Shepherdsville, which is a fun.
Oh yeah,
that show is always a banger, man.
Like, oh yeah,
it's crazy packed filled, so I'm excited for that one, and then hopefully we'll see you guys down in Bowling Green in November. So, and if I don't see you beforehand, you know, I'm planning to make a trip down to Scott's and get some training in with him, so we'll have to get around.
Yes, sir. I'll see you soon. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, brother. Good luck to you.